Police fired tear gas at rioters hurling gasoline bombs and chunks of marble today during Greece's largest anti-austerity demonstration in 6 months, part of a 24-hour general strike that was a test for a nearly four-month-old coalition government and the new spending cuts it plans to push through. The brief but intense clashes involved a couple of hundred masked rioters, a small part of a demonstration of more than 60,000 people that began this morning in Athens. The Greek protests came a day after huge anti-austerity demonstrations rocked the Spanish capital of Madrid, where hundreds of protesters marched again today, ending near Parliament amid a heavy presence of riot police. Shortly before the strike in Greece got underway, Prime Minister Antonis Samaras and Finance Minister Yanis Stournaris hammered out a $14.9 billion package of spending cuts for 2013 to 2014 that's been demanded by the country's international lenders, along with another $2.6 billion in improved tax collection. The government was struggling to come up with austerity measures acceptable to the country's creditors. The next payment of $40 billion hinges on further cuts. Kostas Panayotakis is an associate professor of sociology at the New York City College of Technology and author of Remaking Scarcity, From Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy. He says the people of Greece have already been subjected to two austerity programs in the past 3 years.
And now they're planning another austerity package, and people are basically very opposed to it. Recent polls showed that 90% of Greeks think that these new measures that are being planned are unfair, and they would particularly hit the poor. So basically what you have is a government that does not reflect the wishes of its citizens, and that's why you had this massive protest today with hundreds of thousands of people. And I think the situation in Greece, the demonstrations today are probably the beginning of a new wave of resistance. There was a bit of a lull over the summer and after the elections, but as these austerity measures will be presented in Parliament in coming weeks, my expectation is that protests will keep growing, and you can expect something similar to happen around Southern Europe, especially as there is an expectation that the Spanish government might seek a bailout from the European Union. And in order to be able to secure that, it will have to continue these austerity policies that will keep making things more and more difficult and miserable for its citizens.
How pervasive is this? What does this mean for the European Union in general, and especially for the poorer countries in the European Union like Greece, Spain, Portugal, Ireland?
Yeah, I think Greece was the guinea pig that has gone through these austerity measures in the most extreme form. It was the first one to experience those extreme measures. At first, they were trying to portray Greece as a special case. But now we see that all these other southern European countries that are following similar policies are basically finding themselves to be deeper and deeper into recession, with growing unemployment rates and growing protest. And, of course, on the part of the governments, we see partly there is police repression, as we saw, for example, in Spain yesterday with the use of rubber bullets against protesters. But we also saw, and this is a heartening development, for the first time in Portugal, the government backed down on part of its austerity program as a result of massive protests of hundreds of thousands of people in Portugal just a few days ago. And this is especially interesting because for a long time there is in the media this portrayal of Greeks as being especially difficult and obstreperous and always resisting austerity, while Portugal was portrayed as being the good student, that people are more stoic, they're less resistant, less likely to go on strike. So it's very heartening to see that resistance is increasing even in Portugal, and it is really increasing throughout Southern Europe.
How does the experience in Greece and Portugal and Spain contrast or compare to the way events have unfolded in Iceland, which also faced a huge economic downturn?
Yeah, I think what Iceland did was to go against the standard orthodox prescriptions of the International Monetary Fund. And as a result, it has been recovering much better than the countries in Southern Europe, which is a reminder of the fact that the policies that we see now in Greece and Southern Europe are not new. These are the same failed policies that have been used by the IMF for decades. The only difference is that it used to be that these policies were imposed on very poor countries, developing countries in Latin America or Africa, Asia. And now, for the first time, we see the same kind of policies in countries that used to be considered part of the core of the world capitalist economy.
And what do these events portend for the United States, where austerity is being imposed but under different names?
Yeah, I think in the U.S. there is austerity in various forms, and this austerity could conceivably accelerate after the elections, probably respective of the result. It might be much worse, of course, if the Republicans win. And, of course, austerity in the U.S. has been primarily on the state level rather than the federal level. There are other kind of similarities, of course, which have to do with the attacks on workers' rights that we see around the country and that are similar to what is happening in Greece and in Europe. And, of course, another factor is that there is a lot of discussion in Europe and in Greece as to the way that the European crisis is handled at the moment, so as to minimize the turmoil before the American election. So there have been articles saying that the Troika that supervises the Greek program might not issue a report, especially a negative report, before the American election, under pressure from the American government that would not want anything like that to sort of alter the course of the campaign. But what we see around the world today is that you have a deep economic crisis, which is the product of the neoliberal free market policies that have been followed for the last 30 years. And there is an attempt by capitalist elites to try to respond to this crisis by attacking the living standards, the social and economic rights of working people, ordinary citizens, and by pushing further the same kind of economic model of free market neoliberalism that produced the crisis in the first place.
So is there a prescription, something that should be tried that isn't being tried? Is Iceland an example of the direction that countries should be taking in order to rebound from this or repel the austerity programs?
In any kind of crisis, there are more than one responses. Of course, the powers that be want to convince us otherwise, that there is only one solution, and the solution is austerity. But if Iceland followed a different path, it wasn't because its political elites were more enlightened. Their first instinct was to do what political elites are doing in Europe. They only acted otherwise because there was massive protest by their citizens. So what is happening right now, what we see, is that governments in Europe and around the world are much more responsive to the demands and the interests of the financial sector and bankers and financial markets than they are to the needs of their citizens. So the only way to have another kind of response, like, for example, Iceland, a response that is more consistent with the needs of the majority, is if the majority imposes that on political elites through massive protests.
Kostas Panayiotakis is a professor of sociology at the New York City College of Technology.